Today we're going to talk about the end of the Hasmonean dynasty. Again, the Hanukkah story takes place in 164 BCE. Yehuda HaMakabi is the leader of the revolt. After he dies 4 years later, his brother Jonathan takes over. After he dies, his brother Shimon or Simon takes over. And after he dies, then his son Yochanan Hercules, John Hercules, takes over, and then his son is Yanai HaMelech. And he, Yanai HaMelech, sided with the Tzidukim, the Sadducees, as opposed to the Pharisees. But after Yanai HaMelech died, so then his wife, Shlomtzion HaMalka, so then she once again, this is in 76 BCE, she once again sided with the Pharisees, the Perushim. So that's where we got to. And after Shlomtzion HaMalka dies in 67 BCE, she had two sons. She had Hyrcanus, who was her older but less capable son, and she had Aristobulus, who was her younger but more capable son. So after Shlomtzion HaMalka died, Hyrcanus is selected to succeed her, becomes the ruler, and Aristobulus was unhappy about this, so he ousted his elder brother, Hyrcanus, from the kingdom. Josephus describes that basically Aristobulus made war against Hyrcanus. Hyrcanus flees to the citadel, and there's a message from Aristobulus to Hyrcanus. They made a deal that Aristobulus would be king, and that Hyrcanus should live privately, a nice estate, as a private citizen. They had agreed, they came together, they confirmed the agreement with oaths, they shook each other's hand, they embraced each other in sight of the whole multitude, and it was great. There were two brothers. One decides to live a life in the public, to be the leader of the Jewish people, Aristobulus, and Hyrcanus would live privately as a private citizen. And This should seem to work, except that there is a man named Antipater. Antipater was an Idumean. If you remember, we had discussed how the Idumeans, they were in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, south of Judea. The Idumeans were forcibly converted by Yochanan Hyrcanus, by John Hyrcanus. This is the one time in Jewish history, I believe, that Jews actually forcibly converted another people. We don't believe in doing that. Some of the other religions spent a lot of their time forcibly converting their subjects. We, as Jews, we don't believe in forcibly converting others. This was a notable exception, where John Hyrcanus, he forcibly converted the Idumeans. So one of these Idumeans, a powerful man, his name was Antipater, very rich, and he's trying to convince Hyrcanus that Aristobulus is out to get him. The reason is because Antipater is scared, at least according to Josephus, Antipater is scared of Aristobulus, so he wants to incite Hyrcanus and tell him that Aristobulus is out to get him. Hyrcanus didn't want to bother. And he was said, no, he means no harm to me. He didn't pay him any heed until at some point, finally, Antipater was able to convince Hyrcanus to enter into an agreement with Aetes III, the Nabataean ruler. The Nabataeans lived on the eastern side of the Jordan River. And the agreement was that Aetes would assist Hyrcanus in return for territorial concessions. So Hyrcanus, with the help of the Nabataeans, lay siege on Yerushalayim, and the Chazal were actually aware of this event, because the Gemara in Sota, Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, tells us the following story. Kishatsaru Malchei Beis Chashmonai Zalzeh, when the kings of the house of the Chashmonaim lay siege one on the other, Haya Hyrcanus Mibachutz, Aristobulus, Bibifnim, Hyrcanus was on the outside of the city walls, and Aristobulus was on the inside of the city walls, and this presumably was referring to this at this time, when Hyrcanus, together with Antipater from the Idumeans, was allied with the Nabataeans, and Aristobulus was inside the walls. But both Hyrcanus and Aristobulus agreed that they still have to offer korbanos, they still have to bring korbanos. Where are they going to get animals? So they would lower money from inside the wall to outside the wall. So Aristobulus's people from inside the wall would send money to Hyrcanus, and then Hyrcanus would, they'd lower money, let's say from a rope, from the top of the wall, lower money down, and then Hyrcanus would take the money, his people would take the money, and with that they'd put an animal to be offered as for the regular korbanos, and they'd raise the pulley, I guess, whatever it was, and they'd raise the animal and bring it inside the city walls. Now, Hayasham Zakin Echad Shayamakir Bechachman Yavanis. There was an elder who was in Yerushalayim, who was familiar with Greek wisdom, and Laz Lahem Bechachmas Yavanis, and he was communicating with the people on the outside, by means of Greek wisdom, using words understood only the most proficient in Greek wisdom. And Amar Lahem calls Manchas Oskim Bavoda Indian Sarm Biedchem. He said, as long as he told the Hyrcanus is following, and as long as Aristobulus is offering the korban on a daily basis, there's no way that you will be able to defeat them. Lamachar Shilshulham Dinarim Bakupa. So the next day they lowered money down in the box, in the container. And what happened? Vehelu lohem chazir, and they sent up a pig to them. Kevan shegiel lachatzichoma. Once the pig reached up halfway up the wall, natziporenav. The pig inserted its hooves into the wall, and then nizdaza. Eretz Yisrael arba meos parsa. Eretz Yisrael shuddered 400 parsos. Also sha amru oru adam sheyigdal chazirim, va'oru adam sheyomad livno chachma yivani. So Chazal said, at that time, they said, cursed be the person who raises pigs, and cursed be the person who teaches his son Greek wisdom. So, Chazal were aware of this time in Jewish history when Hyrcanus, with the help of the Nabataeans, lay siege on Aristobulus. Meanwhile, Pompey, from the Roman leader, arrived at Syria, and after taking Damascus, he intervened on Aristobulus's behalf and forced the Nabataeans to withdraw from Judea. You know, the Ramban, in the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, when actually is very critical of Yaakov Avinu when he returns to Eretz Yisrael, that he sends messengers to Esav. The Ramban says that about this, Chazal said, Machzik Ba'ozne Kelev, he's like holding on to the ears, dog ears. In other words, why are you playing with a sleeping giant? You should not have awakened Esav. You could have just gone back to your father's house when you were returning from Lavan's house. Why did you stop off and send messages to Esav? It's just going to cause you trouble. And the Ramban says, "Valdati gamze yirmoz ki anachnu hitchalnu nefilasenu biyad Edom." And he says, "I think this also hints to the fact that we began our downfall in the hands of Edom." Kimalchi bayisheni bo bivrisim haromiyim. Because in the kings of the Second Temple period entered into treaties with the Romans, umeham shabo baroma, and some of them came to Rome. The Isa Sibas Nefilasam Bielam, and that's why we fell, our downfall was with the Romans. We should not have entered into a treaty with the Romans. And indeed, when Aristobulus sent for Pompey, so the Nabataeans left and Aristobulus's forces then were attacked and defeated the forces of the Nabataeans. But now Pompey had to decide. Now the Romans are now in Eretz Yisrael, and Pompey had to decide who will he side with. Yes, he got rid of the Nabataeans, but now will he was asked to get involved. So now he's getting involved. Who will Rome side with? Will he side with Aristobulus, or will he side with Hyrcanus? And at the end of the day, he was inclined to award the kingdom to Hyrcanus. Could be because Antipater was really the man pulling the strings behind the power, and that may have had something to do with it. In any case, Aristobulus surrendered to Pompey, and basically Pompey conquers Yerushalayim. And in the year 63 BCE, an end had come to the independence of Judea, which had lasted for some 80 years, from about 143 BCE, when the Syrian Greeks acknowledged the independence of Eretz Yisrael, as Jonathan, Yonatan, was the Maccabean leader there. So it lasted for about 80 years. It had achieved political consolidation of Eretz Yisrael under Jewish rule, but now the Romans were in charge. Judea was still granted autonomy, though its territory was greatly reduced, and what remained to Hyrcanus was Judea. He was given Judea and southern Samaria, most of Idumea, and Hyrcanus was deprived of the title king. He was recognized only as an ethnarch and a Kohen Gadol, and the country was again obliged to pay tribute, and that, of course, is the hallmark of servitude. Judea was ruled by a Roman procurator who managed its political, military, and fiscal affairs. But Aristobulus was not done. It's true that Pompey selected Hyrcanus, but Aristobulus and his family started rebellions. And they did not make life easy for Hyrcanus and or for the Romans. Aristobulus himself is poisoned in 49 BCE, and his son Alexander was beheaded by the Romans in 48 BCE, and Antipater remains loyal to the Romans. Under Julius Caesar, relations between Rome and the Jews of Eretz Yisrael improved markedly. Hyrcanus and Antipater joined Caesar after his victory over Pompey, and even helped Caesar when he was in Alexandria by providing a Jewish expeditionary force. In return, Caesar favored Hyrcanus and the Jews. He was predisposed to the Jews, to Hyrcanus. Hyrcanus was confirmed as hereditary ethnarch and Kohen Gadol. However, Hyrcanus essentially became a puppet of Antipater, who became the regent of Judea. And Aristobulus's other son, Matisio Antigonus, his claims to the throne were rejected, and Antipater installed his sons as governors. Herod, or Herodias, was a governor over the Galilee, and Phasael was a governor over Yerushalayim. So at this point, Aristobulus is dead. One of his sons, Alexander, is dead, but another son is still there. He believes, Matisio Antigonus believes, that he should be king, but Hyrcanus is the Kohen Gadol, but the real power is Antipater and his sons, Herod and Phasael. Herod was very pro-Roman, and he executed many Jews without trial. Caesar was assassinated in 44 BCE, and that dragged Judea into turmoil. Cassius, one of the main conspirators, came east, took control of Eretz Yisrael. Antipater and his sons gave him support. Meanwhile, Antipater is poisoned in 43 BCE, and Antony defeats Cassius in 42 BCE. So Antipater's children, Phasael and Herod, side with Antony. They're okay. They'll side with whoever is ruling Rome. In 40 BCE, the Parthians invaded the eastern part of the Roman Empire, and Matisio Antigonus, Aristobulus' youngest son, whose claims to the throne of Judea had been rejected by Caesar and Antony, joined Rome's enemies and joined the Parthians. And many Jews rushed to Antigonus' banner. It soon became obvious that a substantial majority of the nation remained loyal to the Hasmoneans and Antigonus, and not to, essentially, Antipater, Phasael, and Herod. Again, Hyrcanus was still there as the Kohen Gadol, but he was a very weak figure. Phasael and Hyrcanus went to negotiate with the Parthians, but they were imprisoned. Phasael commits suicide, and Hyrcanus' ears were cropped, so therefore he was ritually unfit to become the Kohen Gadol. Herodias escapes from Yerushalayim and leaves for Rome to seek military aid as Antigonus becomes the king of Judea once again after 23 years of Roman rule from 63 BCE to 40 BCE. So that you have now Antigonus in Rome, and Antigonus in Eretz Yisrael, the king. You have Hordus, Herod, running off to Rome, and Herod is received with honor in Rome because Antony and Octavian realized that he was Rome's only remaining ally in Judea. Therefore, rule of Judea was entrusted to him, and in order to enhance his status, he was given the title of king. And Herod, with Roman assistance, pushed the Parthians back, and he captured Samaria, the Shomron, Idumea, and the Galil. And finally, in 38 BCE, the Parthians were defeated, and soon after, the Roman forces were able to complete the war in the Shomron and Samaria, and Antigonus' army was defeated. After a five-month siege in Jerusalem, it fell to the Roman legion in 37 BCE, and Antigonus, after having an independent Jewish kingdom for 3 years, Antigonus is executed. And his death marked the end of the Hasmonean dynasty, and his family probably left its mark more than any other during the days of the Second Temple period. Now, what was going on during this time in terms of the spiritual leadership of the Jewish people? So the spiritual leadership of the Jewish people during this time was vested in Shemaiah and Avtalion. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Vav and Bey, states that Mibnei Bonav Shel Sancheiriv Limdo Torah Barabim, the descendants of Sancheiriv, the wicked Sancheiriv, who destroyed the northern kingdom, so they studied Torah, they taught Torah, so apparently they were converts. Or they came from a family of converts. Maninu Shmaya v'Avtalion. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin takes the view that Shmaya and Avtalion came from a family of converts. The Rambam on Mishnah in the Rambam's commentary in Mishnah in Edius, Perek Aleph Mishnah Gimel says that it goes even further and says that Shmaya and Avtalion were converts themselves. And the and it seems from their statements. In, or at least Shmaya's statement in Pirkei Avos, where the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud, says that Shmaya said, Ehovas Amlacha, love work, Usna es hara bonus, stay out of politics, don't get involved in Srara, in leadership, political leadership, Val Tisvada l'Rashus, and don't make yourself known to the government, because it's just bad news. So you can, his statements reflect the desire to stay out of the politics of the day, which were obviously really bad. Hyrcanus and Aristobulus, civil war, two brothers fighting for power. So we can understand why Shemaiah said what he said. Avtalion said, Chacham hizharu b'divrecha, sages, be careful with what you say, because what you say, people may misunderstand it, and it can lead to, as the Bartanur explains, Shlo Tanichu Makum Laminim Latos B'Divrecha, so that heretics won't mistake what you're saying. And so Avtalion's statements reflect the concern for Apikorsis that may have been taking place during his days. Now, Hyrcanus and Aristobulus followed the policy of Yanai, their father, with respect to the Chachamim. They didn't really care much about the Chachamim. Chachamim did not really have much authority. They were the spiritual leaders for the masses, but they didn't have the formal authority from the king. You know, there's a Gemara in Yuma, Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, which says the following: Tanu Rabbanan, Maise beKohen Gadol Echad sheYatzu miBeis Hamikdash. There's a story of the Kohen Gadol who left the Beis Hamikdash. VeHavu Az leKuli Al Basrei, and all the people followed the Kohen Gadol. Keva de Chazyunu Lishmaya Vavtalion. Once the people saw Shmaya Vavtalion, Shafku Lididei Vazli Basar Shmaya Vavtalion. They left the Kohen Gadol and they followed Shmaya and Avtalion. Lesov also Shmaya Vavtalion Lifture Mine the Kohen Gadol. Eventually, Shmaya Vavtalion came to take leave of the Kohen Gadol before returning to their homes. Amar Lahun, Amar Lahen. The Kohen Gadol said to Shmai Naftalion, Yesun Banai Amamin Lishlam. Let the descendants of the non-Jewish nations come in peace. In other words, he was mocking them, the fact that they came from converts. Amri Leh, they responded to him, Yesun Bnei Amamin Lishalom, Da'avdin Uvda Da'aron, V'lo Yese Bar Aron Lishlam, Da'lo Avid Uvda Da'aron. Let the descendants of the non-Jewish nations come in peace, who perform the acts of Aaron, because Aaron was someone who loved and pursued peace. And let not a descendant of Aaron come in peace, who does not perform the acts of Aaron, and who speaks condescendingly to the descendants of converts. That was Shmai and Avtalion's response to the Kohen Gadol. Obviously, the people respected Shmai and Avtalion much more than Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol may have had the authority, but Shmai and Avtalion were the leaders. Josephus writes that during these civil wars, many Hasidim and Tzaddikim left Judea and left to the Jewish community of Alexandria in Egypt. The political life for the Jewish people changed after Hordus, after Herod ascends to power, and the spiritual life of the Jewish people also changed when Hillel ascends to become the spiritual leader of the Jewish people, as we will discuss in our next session.